Hydro Funk remix of Sonic the Hedgehog 3 by Will Rock. Folks, you know what that song means?
Yes.
It's time for Seeking Infinity.
Yes.
Journey 3, Episode 3, Scopes Up.
Yes.
This wonderful 18th of October, 2013.
13.
13.
Yes.
Just like that.
Double T.
Yes. You must emphasize the T.
In the middle.
In the middle. Not the first one, so it's really more like hurt teen.
Sure. We're just doing letter displacement. Whatever.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, whatever.
Right. Hi. Well, tonight, folks, welcome. I'm Mr. Bond.
And I'm Tormod.
This wonderful evening of Seeking Infinity. Tonight, we're going to be talking about ideas in scope. About projects, particularly ours, since that's what we're going through.
Mm-hmm.
Have gone through, will continue to go through right now. So let's give you a quick outline of tonight. Talk first about generating some ideas, then right after that, about eliminating ideas. Then we'll have a quick break, intermission, grab some popcorn, you know, make a sandwich. Then, in part three, we'll talk about allocating your resources, your person resources, your technical resources, whatever. And then in the final section, we'll talk about actually determining project scope. That might seem a little bit backwards, but that's how we kind of did it. So that's how we're going to kind of talk about it.
Deal with it.
Yep. All right, part one, generating your ideas. This might sound a little tired, but when you're starting to think up ideas, write down everything, everything, everything. Everything?
Quite.
Everything. You never know what will inspire you.
Especially when you're super tired.
Exactly.
Those are often hilarious.
Or super caffeinated.
That too.
Or super drunk.
So, because this happens, well, it used to happen so much more often, but because it still happens to me when I hang out with certain people, we come up with very stupid ideas, and they turn into even more stupid ideas. I could say stupider because that would emphasize the point, but
yes.
Okay, fine, they were stupidistic.
They were, okay.
Yes,
sure.
Made up a word. But when you come up with these concepts that are just so far out there that you're just crapping yourself laughing at them, and just can't stop. You have something, obviously, because you think it's hilarious, they think it's hilarious, and of course you kind of shared a moment anyway, so that's an influence, but you just come up with all this random crap, and the random stuff is good, because they're just random fragments of ideas, because then you have all these fragments, and you're just like, I'm going to build something with this, and it's like Tinker Toys or Kinects or something like that, where you just have all these random crap-ass pieces, and you put them together, and they might look like ass initially, but that's when you deconstruct. And then you put the stuff back together, and look, we just made an idea.
A very, yes, a very rambling idea, but an idea nonetheless.
Yes, a video game about Kinects, where your Kinect pieces are ideas for video games. There.
Whoa, we're getting a little meta here.
Ah, we just did it, though. We did it.
Make sure you write it down, then.
I'm writing it down in my mind.
Oh, okay.
And verbalizing it to the whole world right now. Yeah, my mind is awful. But, you know, we just did it, though.
Yeah. And
unintentionally.
Now it's on the permanent record.
Crap.
Nobody steal it. Actually, you know what? Steal it. We don't really care. If it gets made, that'd be pretty funny.
If the NSA is still funded, steal it. You're listening. I know.
I'm pretty sure they are. On both counts.
Eh.
But anyways, as another more concrete example, an idea that I had a few months ago. It's a little project called Goats Ahoy.
Awesome.
And it started out as just a single sentence about this stupid little game about a goat climbing a mountain.
A sentence?
Like, just one sentence. You're a goat trying to climb a mountain. That's all it was.
That's it?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I wrote it down, and it sat there for like a month or two, and then I came back to it. It was in a folder called like Game Ideas or something, with the name of the text file called Goats Ahoy. I'm like wondering, what the hell is this? And I open it up, I'm like, oh God, that's horrible. But wait, if we did this, oh, that's cool. And then
something.
Like 2 or 3 hours later, I've got this 4 or 5 page design document on it with a whole bunch of neat shit. So write down your little weird goat sentences.
Random song ideas. See? Random ass piece of shit ideas. Yep, totally have this. I just pulled up a folder at my computer to show him. Of course, you can't see that, but you just have to believe me.
Yeah, you can trust me. I'm a doctor. Not really. But yeah, there's 5 documents in that folder there of random song ideas.
Well, I take that back. There's 3 actual song ideas, and then I have 2 other random documents that shouldn't be in there. I should probably move those.
Well, you know, whatever. Maybe a little inspire songs later.
Maybe. I'm going to make a song called Portfolio. Yes.
And then put it on your portfolio.
Ah.
There we go.
We're getting back to the meta thing again.
Exactly. Why the hell not?
Can't
right?
get away.
Of course, if you're not one to deal with randomness all that well, set a restriction for yourself. Maybe pick a genre. I'm a big fan of top-down shooters or side-scrolling shooters or really any shooters in general. So you set that restriction on yourself and generate ideas based on that. I've got probably at least 3 or 4 different fragments just based on 10 minutes of thinking about that particular genre.
So we're scrapping goats. We're making them rams, and the rams are going to shoot things from their horns.
There we
Done.
Go. There's one right there. It took like 5 seconds. Based on a genre restriction, and admittedly a seed from a goat. But, you know.
Goats don't have seeds.
That's what you think.
They do now!
There we go.
There. Done.
Or do they hatch from eggs? Eggs or seeds?
Both.
All right. So we got 2 opposing teams.
Yes.
All right.
Done and done.
See, this shit just writes itself.
Wow. You realize that we're going to actually do this sometime,
yeah,
right?
Probably.
Okay.
That's fine. I don't have a problem with that.
It's too bad because I don't think Kiernan's listening right now, so we're not going to get any fun
fan art. That would kickstart things a little bit.
Oh, Shuffleboard Heroes. We totally need to make it. That was another random game concept that we came up with for sports, was
it?
Because we
it
both
sports.
Hate sports games
yeah.
pretty much.
Then we picked Shuffleboard because we're like, well, whatever.
It's a sport.
I think curling got thrown in there at some point.
Oh,
too.
It did. Yeah, we had a curling game in the same episode. Yeah, those were both weird crap that I came up with on caffeine.
Yeah, while we were doing Seeking Infinity. So,
yes.
You know, weird shit
And then
happens.
Somebody made a art of it during the show and immediately gave it to us after the show so that we could put it in the show. It was just glorious.
It was pretty good.
Yes. So if anybody's pretty listening, good. It feels like making fan art of rams that hatch out of eggs and or grow from seeds that shoot bullets out of their horns while trying to climb a mountain, please. You
Modern
have our permission.
Battlefield 60 million.
It's like the new Pokemon. It'll be around forever.
Skidoo.
Anyway.
And if that's not even working for you, even if setting a restriction isn't working for you, look at what you've written before. I mean, it doesn't even have to be game-related. Pick a story or something that you write, and everybody's a writer, even if you think it's stupid. Okay, maybe not everybody's a writer, but, you know, you get the idea there.
And that's how Twilight was born.
Oh, that's harsh.
Yeah, had True. To. Sorry. I mean, that's just an opinion. That's not slander, right?
True.
Good, because I don't even know where something Meyer... I think that's the author's name. I don't know. I'm glad I don't know that. Anyway, set a restriction. Don't write shit. Done.
That's a pretty broad restriction. Although it works for many different things.
Well, that's true. It's also incredibly subjective. So
yeah.
You should probably get outside console on that. Just saying.
Consult a writer. Let's just put it that way.
And or your teammates.
And or your teammates.
Because they're the ones who have to put up with your shit idea.
Speaking of teammates, when you've got all these ideas floating around, put them up in a common area. Don't hoard them to yourself, as shitty or stupid as they may be and or sound. So everybody can see them and develop based on them.
And or point and laugh.
And or point and laugh, because everybody needs a good laugh.
Yeah, quite true.
Some people more often than others.
Yes.
All the time. Okay, final suggestion for generating ideas. Either choose something you really, really love, something that you're really passionate about positively, or something that you kind of hate.
Like sports games.
That's how Shuffleboard Heroes was born.
Yes, it was.
Because chances are, if it's something you hate, you've got a lot of ideas to improve on it. And although Shuffleboard Heroes, we didn't really go into a lot of depth on how to improve it. We just kind of mashed shit together until it was funny.
Well, it wasn't even just that it was funny. I mean, it ended up being hilarious, but, I mean, it was a sports game that I would actually play. That's something. That's improving upon the playability of the genre.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's how I feel about that.
So, overall, really, it's just be passionate about it, whether positive or negative, and then get behind it. Like, really dig into it. And then you've got a pretty good idea already, even if it's a really shitty idea to most people who like sports games.
Sports games, yes.
Sports games. We're going to have to make a sports game, you realize, right?
I know. We're going to have to make Shuffleboard Heroes.
Well.
It counts.
Does it?
Well, it's a sports game.
Does it really?
I mean, we can do it.
I suppose.
And we might have to, like, have him make all of the art for it in that wonderful, wonderful rushed style. Because the game is going to be wonderful and wonderful and rushed. Because it's a sports game and we don't like that genre.
Just like any other sports game. Rushed.
Yeah. Ooh. And then the same thing year after year. And they still buy it.
I don't think I would make a Shuffleboard Heroes 2015.
I don't know. It could be an easy way to cash in. Just got to keep that code base and add some new graphics.
I guess we got to hit the shuffleboard circuits then to get the players, the new players every year.
Well, see, weren't they like prisoners on a cruise ship, like this geriatric cruise ship or something?
They were old people.
Geriatric cruise ship.
Yep. Pretty much. Love it.
We need to kidnap more geriatric cruise ships.
What? I don't think you can quotes
taken out of context. Oh, wow. Yeah, whoa. Okay.
All right, well, that's about it for generating ideas. We've used pretty much all of those at some point for our own stuff, even for Project Auspice. So we know what we're talking about, sort of.
Yeah, we have to throw in geriatric crews.
Yeah, maybe not, but we'll keep that for another time.
Caravan, there, done.
Speaking of keeping stuff for another time, part number two, thinning your idea pool. Oh, don't,
Every
I like,
time,
I like my horrible French.
Duh.
Part de.
Thinning the idea pool. We're getting rid of that duh idea. And, you know, taking the decent things out of that sentence, which are the other words.
What about part?
It's a good word.
Okay, so part thinning the idea pool?
Yes.
Oh. Fine.
Ah, we did it again. All right, so we're getting rid of the bad ideas and keeping the good ones, even if the good ones are in far fewer number. You have particularly weak ideas like duh.
Oh.
I know. And if it makes sense elsewhere, like making fun of the French, then sure, it makes perfect sense then. However, we're not making fun of the French in this game yet.
Oh.
Well,
okay.
I guess we could for Shuffleboard Heroes.
We could. We
geriatric.
Could have locales.
That's true. They could be from over yonder east somewhere. Yeah, because they're all French over there.
East.
I never said how far east.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
All right. Well, in any case, we're coming up with a bunch of terrible ideas, and we're merging them and or overlapping them. Great. And eventually we'll come up with something, and hopefully the end result is less crappy than the parts. That's kind of the point. Thinning the idea pool, you'll have all of these fantastic and possibly stupid ideas, and trying to make them work together, and if they don't jive and you want to do something and you just can't get there with those ideas, axe them and then find something new. You can go back to part one and make new things, or you can just have an obscene amount of things in your idea pool and then pick through the crap and get the few good things that are there and start developing from there too. It's a cycle. You just kind of go back and forth between part one and part two.
Yes, iterative process.
Fun time.
And if you're really having trouble getting rid of stuff, just pick like three or four random ideas and try to mash them together.
And what's even more fun is making it completely aleatoric. So dice rolls or darts or, yeah, anything along those lines.
Yeah, you've got a lot of equally crappy ideas.
Go play the lotto. That's a crappy idea.
That's just
idea.
One solid crappy idea right there.
But yes, point there is you have an ideal pool. Take a few things that you think might work together well, build from there, and if you don't like it, scrap it. Well, you don't necessarily have to scrap it entirely, but just shelf it. How about that? Because your crappy idea might be less crappy in another scenario down the road.
Right. When mixed with more crappy ideas you have yet to generate.
Yes.
Once you've thinned down your pool enough, you'll generally have a few sort of okay mediocre ideas. So get behind those and develop them a little further. Even if you just got a sentence, get behind it. Make it into a 3-page document and see if it works out still. If it doesn't, go back and try another one. And do this ad nauseum.
Until you pass out. I almost said pass out drunk, but that's only for the writers in the crowd.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Programmers, too.
Love you.
They do love your drinks. Kind of going back to a little bit of what we said earlier in this part. If an idea feels shaky, hang on to it, but don't waste your time developing it anymore. Pitch it back to the curb. Put it back in the fridge, unless it's growing mold. Then throw it out.
Moldy ideas are generally bad.
Yeah, this is a bad allegory. I'm going to drop it and move on.
Oh, right.
when you do finally hit that idea that you want to take 100%, get behind it 100%. But be prepared to drop it 100% if necessary. Because you might find out as you're developing it, maybe even implementing a little bit, that it really does suck. And it's not going to go anywhere else. So be a little bit dispassionate about it and say, well, this didn't quite work out. Maybe it'll work out in something else later on.
See, the fun thing about this is that with all of the interweb stuff right now, you don't truly have to delete much of anything, especially considering this is all minor texty crap. So my thought is put it inside of a dead ideas folder. And when you're really, really desperate someday and you just can't come up with anything, you can look at your terrible ideas and be like, how the hell did I come up with this shit? And then be inspired to find something either better and or a use for your terrible idea. Something tells me that's how Mugenics came around.
Probably.
I do love Team Meat.
Did you read the comic book?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. love you, Tommy. That's about it for thinning the idea pool. You can do anything you really want to get rid of shit ideas. And there's no real science to it, just like there's no real science to generating ideas. So you just kind of go with it. Do what feels right, I guess, to a point. Not going to specify what that point is, because that's opinion. And you're not really interested in my opinion.
Nope.
Well, you aren't, I know. Maybe somebody else is. Who knows? All right, with that, we're going to take a brief intermission. Tonight's intermission song, a remix from Kingdom Hearts 2, entitled Nothingness is Eternal, by Ivan Hackstock. mission is over, on to part three, allocating your resources. Whether that be actual people you're working with, or the resources you have, technically speaking, your wikis, your Trellos, or your...
websites, your blogs, etc.
There we go. That's what I was spacing on. First of all, when you're dealing with people, base it on what they actually want to do. So, if you've got a writer, have them write stuff. Because chances are they really like to do that.
And also, don't treat your staff like resources, because they'll hate you.
I suppose, right. Yeah.
Courtesy of the link that Bori sent me from Gama Sutra earlier this week. He didn't actually share this with you. It was five mistakes of rookie producers.
Oh.
Treating your teammates like resources.
Well, that makes perfect sense.
So I just wanted to throw that in there real quick because it's a perfectly valid point. People are people. They have wants and needs and everything else, too. They're not just tools to be used.
True, which is why you should give them something to do that they like to do.
Precisely.
For example, I am a programmer. I like to program. I am not so big. Yeah, I know. Shocking, right? I am not so big on creating the story and going through all the dialogue and all that crap because it just doesn't interest me. So we're working on a very story-heavy game, and, well, I don't really get into that stuff, so I'm building the engine instead because that's what I like to do, and that's what I'm sort of good at. We'll see. We'll see on the second
one. And Boris.
And Boris, yes. We brought Boris on board for that as well.
Yes. Everybody is late excite. Ha! There. Did it.
That was terrible.
I know.
That was a very bad example.
I know. For those of you who are listening to the recording, you have absolutely no idea what I'm referring to. Ha ha.
Ha. So there, you're right. Take that. You should have listened live.
Yes.
Much more entertaining.
Anyway.
For the idea front, like we were talking about in the first half, pretty much everybody is an idea person. Even if you don't like making stories like I don't, I still have tons of weird, crazy-ass ideas that I subsequently write down, that we subsequently thin out. And then we allocate people to work on.
Or, in our planning many meeting things that we did, we drew it on our desks because they're glass and we have special markers, also known as whiteboard markers, that can draw.
Very special markers.
I know. Literally, we were spewing ideas and then wiping them away. Yeah, we're coming up with some scenarios for one of the first, I guess, events in the game. But that was before the game had a story, and that event isn't going to happen. But we were coming up with some prototype stuff. So it's an idea, and, well, we have it written down in Word form
and
if we ever care to use it.
Some photos, I think. I think I took a photo of the
board. Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
The board. We actually should get a real board at some point.
When we move, we should, like, if we actually get a legitimate office, which I am totally gunning for, a 3-bedroom so we can use an actual office space with a real whiteboard would be pretty cool. I also saw something. Oh, wow. Tangents. You know, you
whatever.
People listen to this show. You know what I do. I saw a car that the outer shell of it was blackboard.
What?
Yeah, it was a blackboard paint or something like that. So, like, people can write on it with chalk and stuff, and it would just wash off. It's so freaking cool.
That's kind of neat, actually.
I love that. And, like, I really love those rooms where they have, like, the glass, not mirrors, but basically just glass sheets on that's the wall dividing two parts where you can just totally write on them and wash it away and everything like that. That's really neat. I
suppose that would be an alternative to a whiteboard. Just get, like, a pane of glass.
Yeah, a mirror.
A mirror.
Yeah.
A stand of some
or
sort.
Anything.
Or anything.
Yeah.
On the wall.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool. We'll allocate some finances into that and get it done.
We get to go to a thrift store. Probably.
I don't know. Do they sell that kind of crap at thrift stores?
Do they sell mirrors? Yes.
Well, not...
I'm saying, like, if you wanted to use
like
cheap stuff.
Sizable thing.
Oh, I know. But, I mean, like, a bathroom mirror? You never know what you might find. I
suppose.
I mean, that would be, like, 4x6, literally. Or, heck, you can just go anywhere and get a pane of real glass, and it'd probably be fairly inexpensive. The tempered stuff that we have at Odessus?
That'd be kind of heavy.
Maybe I realize, but I mean, like, whoever vends that stuff, plexiglass, I don't think would have the same stuff because it's plastic-based. It's not actual glass.
Yeah, it'd probably still be okay to write on, though.
It's rather porous. I think it might absorb.
Hmm.
But in any case, we have resources, and these are tools.
Yep,
and
we'll allocate more resources into research.
Yeah. Wow. Had to bring that one around.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, you have a team, obviously. Your team is comprised of the components that are necessary to make your game. And your team is going to change over time. Like, we ended up having primarily story-heavy stuff for people who are working with us. And Adam was the sole developer until we started adding artists and other programmers and things like that. But initially we came up with obviously our ideas and started thinning things down, and we determined, well, of course we're going to need more artists later on. So of course we added some. So it's important to come up with amazing ideas, because that's going to impassion you and cause you to want to work on things. But you also have to make sure that the ideas that you come up with are realistic in scope, especially. So
we'll get to scope later on.
I understand.
I know.
This is kind of a preview of things to come. But allocating resources also goes the other way, where you have to plan ahead. You can't just have an idea and then assign things to the people that you work with. If you're a project manager like I am, you have to make sure from both directions that things are feasible and that people actually want to do them. So that's just another angle from the same thing.
Kind of on the opposite end of that, you have to be prepared if you can't find those resources right away or those people right away, that you might have to take on something that either you're not very good at or that you'd rather not do. So,
or something that's, smaller in scope.
Yeah.
We'll get to it.
Which we'll get to. So for example, we're just spinning up our company stuff. We don't really have a dedicated business resource.
Nope.
So I've had to take on most of that just because I knew that's what I was signing up for. And I don't like doing it, but it needs to be done regardless. There's no two ways around some of that stuff. So you have to be willing to move to stuff you're not exactly comfortable or familiar with, mm-hmm. and move through it fluidly. So for a while, I've been on the business end of things and getting everything in line. And now I've been moving back to technical things to help get Boris spun up and making sure my other stuff is lined up properly. And then back to business to get it all worked out.
So many hats.
There is a lot
of
hats.
It's like Team Fortress.
Except actually valuable.
Oh.
Ooh, burn.
Well, you're not free to play. Oh.
No, I'm not. Very expensive, in fact.
Wow. Out of context. Moving on.
My rates are. No.
Whoa.
And then as progress continues and as your team grows, as you take on more people and you have more resources available to you, you can afford to specialize a lot more. Now that we have an artist, two artists, really.
Yeah.
We have somebody doing 2D and textures and concepts and all that, and we have our story writer artist person who will also be doing 3D, and we didn't have that before. We only had the one artist, which was kind of dividing up a lot.
And a little overwhelmed.
Yes.
Admittedly, because
very easy to do.
We needed to determine what kind of resources we needed, and then we found them.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Allie. In case you're listening, she said she might.
So that about ties it up for resources. Let's move on to scope. Project scope is probably one of the worst things to have to determine because it's so hard to nail down.
I can speak on this one for a little bit.
Go ahead.
And it's not even a ramble fest.
Good.
So our first project that we decided to tackle as a team is Project Auspice. And the original concept was to have an open world with lots of story and interesting combat ideas that would differ from what we considered the staples of tactical RPGs. And while that's all good and well and fantastic and stupendous...
Sounds good on paper.
Well, precisely. The concept itself is... I still consider it to be marvelous. I do believe that we will actually produce that game in that form at some point because it would be engaging and I think it would sell. That's kind of the point. When you're making games, you, one, make something that you like, two, try to put your passion in there and actually cause other people to like it, and then three, make some money because you kind of have to pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
So, unfortunately, despite all of these dreams and aspirations, you have to be mindful of your resources and the abilities of your team as well. And me being project manager and producer, etc., I mean, I've just got all these P words. It's difficult for me to have all of these fantastic ideas and trying to put them on paper and realizing this is not going to happen for a long time. What we're essentially going to do, spoiler alert, is develop the engine and put it in some sort of crude format. I won't say crude, sounds awful, but
self-contained.
Yeah, it's basically a tech demo of the mechanics of the game at its most root level, and we can determine if people are truly interested in the concepts that we have, because they're going to be the base for that future game. So the scope of our first game per se is really more of a simulation. It's a tactical RPG simulation, I guess, is what we can come up with. And it's going to showcase our ideas for facing. It's going to do terrain management and interaction with terrain and things like that. We have all of these ideas that we think, if they're executed well, are going to be game-changing. That's kind of the point. We want to improve upon the things that we truly enjoy and axe the things that we don't. Level grinding is dumb.
Yes. Agreed, so, 100%. Pew, 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 pew.
Exactly. So we're working on finding a way to encourage players to discover abilities as they go along or problem solve on their own. And having the ability to end scenarios in different ways is going to be something that we want to do. That right there is one thing that's really important to us. But we also want to limit ourselves so that we can focus on that really well. So for this demo, we're going to essentially produce over the next however many months, hopefully have something playable by next summer, is to limit our scope to how are we going to allow the player to determine the outcomes of these challenges in a way that isn't prescripted, in a way that isn't repetitive and the same thing over and over again. That's why we have the interaction with the environment. We have the differences or the different ways that you can end a battle or a scenario. So we're going to focus on those things. And once we get that done really well, we'll stick some graphics on it to make it presentable and workable. But we're going to see how people like it first. And that right there is just a very tiny piece of the concept, the ideal version of Project Auspice. But we had to really hone in on something that was non-art related, non-blah, so that we can at the very least get the core. So we had to limit our scope quite a bit to get that far, but if we can really refine that, we hope that we'll be able to turn it into the thing that we want.
Right. It's all well and good to say, well, it's going to start here, it's going to end here, it's going to be X number of hours long, but you can't really act on that. Unless you have, like, a team of 20 people that you can divide, like, here, you tackle the first hour of gameplay, you tackle the second, do all the art and story, blah, 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 blah. We don't have the resources, people-wise or technical-wise or talent-wise, to do that. So this self-contained prototype is our test.
Yep.
It's our tryout. It's something that we can release on its own. If it does well, if people like it, then we'll expand on it. We'll get it closer to that ideal auspice. If it doesn't, well, we'll hang on to it for sure. And we'll say, hey, we built this. It's pretty neat, but it just didn't quite work out the way we wanted it to. So we'll, you know, pack it away and start on something else.
And we'll certainly reuse concepts from the engine, and or obviously Boris and Mr. Bond are going to be much more capable at that point, because they're already going to be in the mindset of, oh, these are the kinds of languages we're going to use. This is what we need to do to interface with the graphics engine. This is how we display things on the screen. Mm-hmm.
This is what worked. This is what didn't. This is how we can improve for next time.
Exactly. And the fun of building our own engine is the fact that it'll be modular and things can be reused, which is great. So even though we're going to have all of this code, we'll be able to reuse it in some capacity. Not necessarily the whole thing, of course, but you'll have an idea of how to make what you want work with what you already have.
Right, and then swap out stuff when newer stuff becomes available. Or if we find a third-party thing that does something better than we did, which I'm sure we'll encounter, we'll use that instead. So part of that goes along with being, again, dispassionate about your own work. It's really easy to get caught up in something super cool that you thought of and something that you put a lot of time into and developing. But then you have to think about it in terms of, well, is this the best way to go? Even though I spent a lot of time on it, well, I have that attachment, but here's something that's even better that we can use instead. So do you do the right thing, or do you do the thing that you're attached to? Who's to say which one is the right one, though?
It really depends on the abilities of the team and their willingness to bust ass at that point. So not even so much willingness as it is, again, that availability word, because everybody on our team has a life outside of making games.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be realistic. Yes. Unfortunately, we have those things called jobs
and bills.
Indeed.
Works for technical developments, works for art, works for storyline.
Works for music, too.
Works for everything. I mean, trim as much as you feel is necessary to make it actionable, and then trim a little more. Because it's always easier to add something on later than it is to take it away later.
Often.
Well, yes. I won't say always. Yeah, that's not a fair qualification. But very often, that's the way it is. Well, I think we've done a pretty good job covering ideas and scope for tonight. So rather than ramble on any further, because I know y'all hate that.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to wrap it up. Journey 3, Episode 3, Scopes Up. Thank you for joining us, everybody. I am Mr. Bond.
And I'm Tormod.
We're going to wrap it up with our signature closer, a remix from Secret of Evermore, entitled A Whisper and a Shadow by Darksword. Good night, everybody.
Ciao.